In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is my favorite Sunday of the year. Yes, it's true. Or at least it's one of them, because there are so many good ones. But today is my especially favorite Sunday because it is Trinity Sunday, that dread day of preachers everywhere, and the day that we celebrate and ponder the particular and peculiar mystery that is our triune God, our God who is three and yet one, one and yet three. This is indeed a very great mystery, and so before we delve any further, I invite you to pray with me. This prayer comes from the Wild Goose Worship Group, the wild goose being a symbol of the Holy Spirit, I didn't know that, in the United Kingdom. In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was. Here and now, among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven, God is. In the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found its fulfillment, God will be. Not denying the world, but delighting in it. Not condemning the world, but redeeming it. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God was, God is. God will be. Amen. Our readings today offer us different views of Scripture that help us explore the nature of our triune God. We are offered a window into the first creation narrative in Genesis, in which God, who is plural, creates a plural humanity in God's image. Way back during the first creation narrative, the wind, or breath of God, broods over the waters, and is joined by the Word of God, which calls light and everything else into being, morning and evening, and all the hours of our days, the creeping things that crawl upon the earth, and all of the other animals as well, male and female, and all genders and expressions of gender. The word that calls all the whole breadth of creation into being, far more than what one story can list exactly or tell, is that same word that will someday be made flesh. Our next view of the Trinity comes in 2 Corinthians, as Paul's letter ends with a Trinitarian benediction you had in your bulletin. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If those words sound familiar, well, they remain important parts of our blessings here in church today. In today's gospel, we are given the Trinitarian formula for baptism in Matthew's Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We said these same words last week on Pentecost when we baptized Zeke and Ivy here in church. It is into God's shared life that we are baptized and all that that shared life encompasses. And in the psalm, we are invited to consider the vastness of a God who is far beyond what our minds can conceive or imagine. A God who has both set the moon and stars in their courses, and yet still considers humanity and is mindful of us. A God who was, and who is, and who will be. And so, we have glimpses into scriptural moments that help us explore the mysterious nature of our triune God. Now, the authors of Genesis, certainly, and the Gospel of Matthew, did not write their texts in explicit support of the doctrine of the Trinity. That understanding came in the first few centuries of the church's reflection, and emerged from the church's retrospective reflection on scriptural passages, like these. Much like we do when we gather for Bible study today, our ancestors sought to make sense of their experience through even the most ancient texts in their spiritual library. And the early church had lots of reflecting to do. God was present in Scripture in three distinct persons who were also all still God. As the Gospels relate, encountering Jesus was somehow encountering God directly. And Jesus spoke of God as distinct from him, too, his Father in heaven, the one to whom he prayed, while at the same time one with him. There was both a two-ness and a oneness present. The same was true for the Holy Spirit. Early disciples experienced encounters with the Spirit as encounters with God directly. At the same time, Jesus spoke of the Spirit as a guiding, challenging presence, distinct from him and from the one to whom he prayed. Now a threeness was present. Much like us this morning, early Christians grappled mightily with these ideas. And this is perhaps the understatement of the day, because early church history rivals reality TV drama, but with more martyrs. Over time, and numerous church councils, the fruits of which you can find in the Apostles' Nicene and Athanasian Creed, all in your prayer books, the doctrine of the Trinity was born, that God is both three and one, one and three. Now, I had never thought very much about the nature of the Trinity until I was in seminary, when one theology professor's description ignited my love, both for this Sunday and this particular part of our faith. He said that since God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal and eternal, then at the heart of God is relationship, ongoing and everlasting, between and among those three persons. Which is to say that since God is triune, three, and at the heart of God is relationship, then at the heart of God is love. If God is three, and we are part of those three parts in relationship with each other, then we are part of that heart of love. What exactly does this mean for us here today? The big question for Trinity Sunday. Two things spring to my mind. In a world where so many Christians preach hatred and exclusion, and humility, alas, seems nowhere to be found, the reminder that we, each and every one of us, made as we are in the image of God, a God at whose heart is relationship and love. I think the reminder that we are all made of and for love and fullness of life and relationship with God and one another is as important as it has ever been. Today is the first Sunday of June, during which many people and places, including our city of Baltimore and the Episcopal Church, mark Pride Month, a time to celebrate and give thanks for the lives and witness of LGBTQ+ folks. For those of us who hope to try and be allies and friends, it is a reminder to strengthen our work and commitment to full flourishing of life for our LGBTQ+ siblings. This year, queer folks across the country continue to encounter the revocation of rights and attacks on their existence, physical and existential. In the face of legislation and violence, the Trinity reminds me that God delights in all of creation, each person made in God's image, and celebrates us all with the same fierce joy. And it reminds me that as we make up the body of Christ, we are sealed together by the Spirit, bound in relationship to strive together for fullness of life for one another and alongside one another. It's part of our baptism into the triune life of God, to work for justice and freedom and peace. It is a continuation of our covenant to proclaim the good news of God in Christ, that all are beloved of God. It is what we are blessed into by Paul's Trinitarian benediction each and every day. So let us live out that blessing, that binding, that seal. Let us strive to make fullness of life a reality for all of God's creation, for all of God's people. For what could bring greater delight than to our God who was and is and will be, than all of God's children living fully in the world, sharing joy and love, joining in that three-part dance, resting in the arms of God.